And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. So every time you turn on a light switch, the light usually comes on. It's pretty reliable. The electric grid system that supplies electricity to your house seems like it's opaque and hidden and you never have to think about it because the electricity is always there. But in fact, the system by which we get electricity, which includes a lot of things, is a product of literally decades of thought and effort and regulation and laws and corporate interest and money and just this huge swirl. There's a lot going on behind that light switch that you may or may not fully understand. Here in Massachusetts, over the last couple of decades, there's been deregulation of this big system, which I think means things like you'll hear terms like ISO New England, whatever the heck ISO New England is. And you'll hear Eversource, and you'll hear municipal light companies and all kinds of words that seem very confusing. And they are confusing. This is an arcane topic, but it's worth trying to poke at a little bit, which is why we are happy to have with us Mireille Bajani. How you doing, Mireille?
I'm doing well, Ted. Thanks for having me.
So Mireille is the Western Massachusetts organizer for the Community Action Works and has been working to help the folks in Peabody, Massachusetts basically confront the idea that there would be a new natural gas peaker plant built in their town, which of course then is part of this big hidden system of generating electricity. So there you go, Mireille. That's what you have to tell me. Explain to people. So everyone has like one piece of the elephant, that old thing about everyone holding a piece of the elephant. The electric utility industry is so big. There's so many parts of it. What do you think people should know? What would help people begin to grasp the utility industry?
Big question, Ted. I want to start by mentioning a few. So in addition to the campaign I'm working on in Peabody with residents there to push back against a proposed peaker plant, I'm also working in coordination with the Berkshire Environmental Action Team to close three existing peaker plants in Berkshire County. And my coworker, Shayna Casper, and I are working on a broader regional campaign focused on this entity you mentioned that is ISO New England, and that is the grid operator for all of New England. And we'll get into a bit more of that in a second. But I want to take a bit of a step back and talk about how I first got thinking about utilities as a part of climate work. Before being an organizer at Community Action Works, I worked on short-term campaigns all across the country for about 2 years. And one of them was based in Sacramento, a campaign centered around the Sacramento Municipal Utility District, or SMUD, which is essentially Sacramento's version of an MLP in Massachusetts. It's a municipal utility that operates, you know, right in that geographic region and is responsible for sourcing and power for residents in Sacramento and making sure that they have enough electricity for all the homes and needs in the Sacramento area. And the campaign was really focused on making sure that SMUD didn't undermine rooftop solar. As California continues to move toward more renewable energy like wind and solar, utilities are increasingly seeing that as a threat. Because if someone puts rooftop solar on their roof, they are going to buy less power from the utility because they'll be generating more of their own energy themselves. And so utilities, to make up for that, start adding fees on for rooftop solar customers and saying, okay, well, you have to pay us to be able to use the grid, to pay us to be able to connect to the rest of the system. So when your panels aren't generating enough, you can still get power from us and you have to pay for this and et cetera. And it makes it much more challenging for folks to make that switch towards rooftop solar. And I think this idea of utilities seeing renewable energy as a threat to their bottom line is consistent across a lot of utilities in the country, including here in New England with ISO New England, where they are holding on as tightly as they can to fossil fuel infrastructure that they've had for decades and building new fossil fuel infrastructure, partly because of special interests and folks who have a lot of money and sway when it comes to these utilities and ISO New England more broadly, and because that's what they see as their business model and what has been profitable. And I think we need to really move away from that and towards this idea that electricity is much more reliable and much more efficient if it's a more distributed system, where instead of, you know, having a power plant maybe halfway across the state of Massachusetts that's generating power that my community is using, and along the way, the farther power travels, the more it gets lost a little bit along the way. So if instead I'm generating power on my own roof or in my own backyard, I get to use a lot more of that because I'm not losing it by shipping it halfway across the state. And if something happens somewhere between me and that power plant across the state, I could lose that power. If there's a storm or a tree falls on a power line, then I lose access to that power. But if it's on my own roof, there's no way I'm going to lose that access, and I'm just going to have it available. If it's in my own community, it increases the reliability of all of you know, having power and people's own ownership over how they're creating power in their community. So ISO New England is a big problem on this front because they are as I mentioned, they're the grid operator for the region. They are this overarching entity that all of the MLPs and other electricity generating entities have to work with and kind of fall under, because ISO manages the grid across these six different states. And
ISO, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's the Integrated System Operator, right? That's what ISO New England means. And they are the sort of this entity that sort of floats above everything else and is sort of the brains of the organization that is coordinating. Okay, so I wanted to get there.
Yeah. And they make sure that the entire grid keeps running and has enough capacity which means, you know, enough energy being produced to power all of the demand, to basically creating the supply to meet the demand of homes and businesses and everything else.
And so, that's an interesting point. This comes back to what we talked about. The capacity is just different from the amount of energy, right? So they have to build the capacity, basically means a power plant or a solar panel, you'd think, but it's the ability to make money, make electricity, because the demand goes up and down. And there's no way to store, which I'm sure we could talk about, right? How could you store that electricity for some other time? Okay, so there you go. I mean, these words are great. I mean, capacity and basically, I guess, the energy that's delivered, right? So, so ISO New England.
And the problem is that they have a lot of power over how the whole system works because they're kind of the umbrella over it all. And so local entities have to get permission from ISO New England, for example, to close an existing power plant, or ISO New England could require them to build a new one as the whole grid fluctuates and more supply is needed to meet demand. And that's the case. That's exactly what at least has been mentioned in the case of Peabody, where the Peabody MLP, in a press release that they issued, they said, we need to build this power plant to meet ISO New England's requirements in terms of capacity and electricity generation. And that's a big, you know, that's one way that ISO New England is exerting a lot of influence over the direction that our utilities are taking. And we want to see that change. We want ISO New England to be heading in a more renewable energy direction. And right now, ISO New England is kind of a black hole of in terms of transparency. There's no real clarity on why they're doing what they're doing and what their priorities are. And there's a process that's ongoing where several New England states have gotten really fed up with ISO New England. State governments have told ISO that they need to be more transparent and engage in a process with communities. So that's kind of an ongoing effort.
And that's a particular, that this the fact that ISO sits, I'm thinking of the Lord of the Rings, the big spider kind of hovering over poor Bilbo in the last novel. I mean, ISO sits there. This is in a circumstance where we can we pretty confidently say that over the next 10 or 15 years, the demand for electricity will go up as everyone buys an electric vehicle and as everyone electrifies their house. So there's this whole question of capacity, but on you fold in on top of that, the fact that there's going to be this increasing sort of absolute amount of electricity that's needed just to do this transition we talk about. And is ISO in a position to guide that, do that in a green way? And what you're saying is that it's all smoke and mirrors. You can't really figure out what their motivations are. And if you can't, they're probably not a good thing to trust, right?
Definitely not. I would not trust ISO New England right now. And they've been propping up existing fossil fuel infrastructure, renewing and trying to keep existing plants online for years and pushing communities to build new ones like this one in Peabody and keeping it all opaque along the way so that communities don't fully understand what is happening and why. And that is, at a very concrete level, what has happened in Peabody, where not only was this proposed plant totally under the radar for the first 6 years that it was in the works, but now that people are asking questions and trying to understand, there's still that wall between the community and the information where, again, that same press release that the Peabody MLP issued, they said, we are doing this partly because of ISO New England's requirements and some of the information has been discussed in executive sessions that are not open to the public because of ISO's requirements around privacy and confidentiality. And so it's just clearly this theme across the board that ISO New England is not interested in having a transparent process that allows the community to engage in decisions that are going to impact their own neighborhoods. And at a broader scale, having a transparency around what direction our electricity grid is taking for the decades to come. And it is, as you pointed out, going to be tremendously important as electricity consumption increases.
So what I think what you're headed towards, if I could put the word and tell me if I'm wrong, I mean, there's this concept of energy democracy, right? I mean, there are new buzzwords that are floating around. I shouldn't say buzzwords. There are new ideas, new concepts, right? The idea that you should be able to have understanding and control over the energy that you use, not like necessarily minute by minute, but you should, I mean, given the fact that we're all hurtling down this climate path right together, everyone should be aware of what they're getting, what their options are, stuff like that, right? Is that an incorrect idea? Or tell me more if it's the right path.
Definitely. I think it's just like any other system that governs our lives, just like, city council or state government, making sure that citizens understand what's happening and that that decision makers are accountable to constituents at a certain level. ISO New England currently is operating with no accountability. There is very little way for individuals or groups to hold that entity accountable to any kind of, specific direction or improvements. And that's part of the problem. An entity that doesn't have accountability to the community is going to keep running away in the direction of special interests or their own self-interest that may not be what's best for the general public.
So tell me, you may not know this, but I mean, there's no 11th commandment that says ISO shall govern New England power. I mean, is it like a compact among the six New England states that set up ISO? I mean, where does it come from?
That's a good question that I don't have a complete answer to. I'm still learning more about the history of ISO New England. I know that a little while back, it was essentially given a lot more power through some deals and basically some, I don't know if it was deregulation, but yeah, essentially giving them more free reign.
I think that when they deregulated, which of course now becomes an interesting topic, about 20 years ago, I think now, Massachusetts deregulated, and they, I think that they separated the powers of managing the system, creating electricity, and then delivering it. So like Eversource delivers electricity to you, but they have to get the electricity from somewhere else, so they don't make it themselves. And then the ISO all of a sudden becomes much more important under deregulation. And maybe that's where it got all this sort of magic power to control the grid.
Yeah, and I think you know they probably had allies in powerful places who decided that they less oversight was needed, and so they've been operating pretty much with free rein for a while, and we're now in this place where a lot happens behind closed doors, and we're not heading in the right direction, and some fundamental changes need to be made.
It's a very interesting topic. I think that the And of course, we're only scratching the surface, right? There's lots and lots of stuff here. But the vocabulary words are ISO New England, right? Integrated system operator as someone who affects your life, but you may not really know about it. And I think it's a topic for continuing. I guess I like to think that if for me, it takes the third or fourth repetition of a word before the penny drops. Oh, no, I heard that one before. I heard that. So if this is the first time you've heard about ISO New England, dear listener, it won't be the last, because I think this is a subject that will be coming around increasingly as we move down the path, right?
Definitely. And I think that'll be this Peabody campaign will be an interesting example of how this plays out at a local scale and whether the community can really push through this wall that has been in place to break into a space of real transparency and community engagement, and how that can then perhaps filter up the chain to more regional level change.
Everything's connected. Fantastic.
Definitely.
Well, what we'll do is we'll put up some links to some of the stuff we touched on in the blog, which will be on the Mass Climate Action Network homepage. Is massclimateaction.org/blog. We'll put up some links there, as well as a SoundCloud version of the show. If you have a question about the podcast or suggesting new topics, or if you know all about, if you're an ISO New England expert and want to come on and tell us how it all works, send an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. You're probably listening to the show on your smartphone using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, Apple Podcasts, yada, yada, yada. You can find the Climate Minute on any one of those. So please ask your friends to find us on their favorite modern podcast distribution app. I want to thank our friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support. I want to close where we always close, by saying that we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, that we accept responsibility for building a durable future, that we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out. And because of that, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our future. So, Marie, this has been a fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for coming on and telling us what we didn't know.
Thanks for having me. It was fun.
Thanks, everyone, for listening. We'll talk again soon. Bye-bye.
Very cool.